Dr. Jash, you're on.
We're on the Yud Beis, on the Beis of the Mishnah. Ir sheyesh ba avodat kochavim, v'hayu ba chanuyot meutarot v'sheinan meutarot. Zeh haya ma'aseh b'Beit Sha'an, v'yamru chachamim ha-meutarot asurot v'sheinan meutarot meutarot. So the question over here, this is involved us in serious reconsideration of the issue of doing business with Goyim that we've been talking about until now. Because the parshas of the Mishnah seems to be saying that if you've got a city in which there is a Yom Ha'id, and you've got a minhag over there, that the certain percentage on that day of the sales in the city are given to the church. And the sign of stores that participate in this drive for the church on that day is that they have a little Christmas wreath on the door, and you can we'll see, it isn't holly, but we'll see, it depends what it's made out of. Actually, the Gemara will discuss that, but that's a sign that we're talking about the store that is part of the Mitsa HaTrama for the church. So there it says that we only offer buying in the stores that have the markings of participation in the great events, and in the other stores you are allowed to buy in. That's what the process of the Mishnah is saying, at least at the Psak HaLoch Lamais in Beit Shan. Now, of course, this raises a terrible problem, which is that the Gemara over here is implying that if not for this new question of giving money to the church, that there's not a problem of doing business. Well, why in the heck is there not the problem of any way of doing business? It may be done, but certainly be your may done. Why are we only talking about the problem of giving money to the church? And why would it be mutter to do business with the stores that don't have the holly on the, or the wreath on the door?
How do we know?
That's by definition the word sheyesh b'avodat kochavim. And every city has avodat kochavim. It means that it's the... That's what it's meant all through the Masechta. That's what it meant in the beginning of the Mishnah too, in the last Mishnah. Sheyesh b'avodat kochavim means that it has a holiday. B'avodat kochavim doesn't mean it has a church in it. So Rashi's approach to this is that we're talking about here the type of things that are mutter to buy from them. And you'll remember that we said later on, and we said earlier on in the Masechta, that if it's something that is a davar she'eino mitkayim, so then the guy is a perishable, the guy is very happy to sell. And that's where we've got a problem. But if it's non-perishables, then the seller is not particularly happy to have gotten rid of the goods. He always figures he could get a better price, if maybe he doesn't have to sell at all. And the issue that we were talking about before was the issue of selling to them, which would be marviach them, give them things that they could use for avodah zarah. And of course, that was in Machlokas Rishonim earlier, which the Gemara raised even, about whether the problem over here is the sense of harvacha and thanks to the avodah zarah, or whether it's the fact that they're going to have more things available to actually do the avodah zarah with. So Rashi's approach is a little bit disturbing, because it seems to run against what we were assuming in the sugya up until now. Now, the Ran takes a simple way out, and he says we're not talking about B'yom Eidam. What happens over here is that there's a, let's say, a pre-Christmas sale, right? And the sale goes on all through the holiday, and then they have a post-holiday sale. In the post-holiday sale, they have, you know, all their leftovers and so on. They give you good prices. But they're still involved in the wreaths on the door, and anybody who's got the wreath on the door is going to be giving a portion of his earnings to the church. So the issue, therefore, is only that problem, the portion of the earnings that goes to the church, and not the question of Yom Eidam, because we don't question it after Yom Eidam is usher. The simplest approach of all is the Meiri's approach. The Meiri says this is all one Mishnah. The opening part of the Mishnah was talking about stores outside of town. And this is just a continuation. Now, in these stores outside of town, we were talking about up until now,
If they are participating in this fundraising drive in order to get a percentage of earnings for the church, and they have a wreath on the door that indicates that they're part of that idea, so then you're not allowed to buy things there because your money is going to be given to the church. So that we have three approaches to why the Mishnah seems to be introducing a brand new question that was never raised before, which is getting money to Avodas Kochavim, directly or indirectly here. Instead of talking about the general sort of doing business, it doesn't matter whether money was going to Avodas Kochavim, but you're still not allowed to do business. So again, Rashi's approach is we're talking about the type of business which is mutter. So we're talking about not selling, which is always bad, but buying, and not buying of a davar that is mitkayim, which is always bad, a davar sheino mitkayim, which is always bad because the guy wants to get rid of perishables, and we're talking about a davar mitkayim. The Ron's approach is, again, that we're talking about after the holiday, in which they're still giving money, but there's no issur of doing business. And the Miri's approach is that this is a continuation of the beginning of the Mishnah, and we're talking about stores outside of town that are not part of the Yom Eidam, but they're participating in a fundraising drive, and that's our only question. Says the Gemara, Omer of Shimi ben Lakish, Lo shanu elab mu'utarot beverd v'hadas, tekamitani merecha. When it says the wreath, and that's your problem over here, going into the store with the wreath, don't think that the problem is that you're giving money to the church, which is the simple way of reading the Mishnah. That is a naive interpretation. There is no issur in buying in a store that gives a portion of its earnings to the church. The only thing that we're talking about is the issur of the actual wreath, not the wreath as a sign, but the wreath itself as a sweet smelling incense type of thing, where they use hadasim or rose to give a beautiful smell. And the minhag was to present this thing on the mizbeach like a ketoret for the akrum, and then to make a wreath out of it and put it on the various things so that they would have something from the actual church on the store. And the problem is the hana'ah that you're getting from the actual avodat kochavim. So it's only if it's mu'utarot beveret v'hadas, where over there you have a hana'ah when you go into that store from the smell. Ava mu'utarot beperot, it's time they use holly, let's say, as a wreath. So then there's no good smell from that. And over there it's mutar. My time of what is my reasoning here? Very simple. I say the whole iser is based on the Omar Krov, lo yidbak biyadecha mi'uma menachere. The point is that the Torah is saying you should not have anything in your hands from what is meant to be destroyed because it's avodas kochavim. So what is that saying? It's saying, who the asur? God doesn't want you to have something out of them. He never said they can't have something out of you, did he? So it's only the mehaneh that's asur, whereas the mehaneh, the fact that they can get something out of you and the store is going to give a portion of their earnings, that's not your business. The guy wants to, you're buying something. The guy wants to go ahead and give money to the church. That's his problem. That's not your problem at all. So time is Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, I disagree. I say, of course, you're not allowed to give money that's going to end up being used for the church. And afilomu tarot b'peirot. And therefore, even if we're talking about a wreath of holly, which there's no hana'ah at all walking into the store, there's no smell, nonetheless, it's asur. Because, isn't it obvious that kavachomer? To me, it's a kavachomer. If the Torah doesn't want you to be neneh, so, kosher came ma'aneh, it's trying to take you away from avodas kochavim. It's saying, you shouldn't even be neneh after they went out to destroy the avodas kochavim. It's meant to be a cherem. It's meant to be completely uprooted. So, what's it telling you? But it's okay if you support it and build a church. That's crazy. The whole point of the pasuk is the dissolution of avodas kochavim. And therefore, you cannot participate in something where the money is being given to the church. By the way, there were many practical shilas about this thing because it was the minhag at all times for Jews to go to the fairs. And the fairs were the time in which you did business with goyim. And in those fairs, they always had this type of thing going on. And the problem was that sometimes they would even market separately, so that there would be a price for the merchandise, and then you were told that you had to add 10% for you know, the purposes of the church that's sponsoring the fair and so on and so forth. And there were a lot of shailos v'tshuvos as to whether the heterion of, you know, Bizman Hazeh, which we talked about early on in the Masechta, about, you know, Nochrim Shebechutz Loretz and about Eva and so on, about whether that's knowing even where they say the Feirush, that's where you're giving the money to. And some were very mocked that even if, unless they would absorb the money into the price, there was no indication in the price not to do business with us. But we'll see on Ahmed Bey's additional considerations that were actually fascinating tshuva about in Rav Moshe. It's amazing how contemporary, about a Jewish real estate developer whose main business were non-Jews. He was in the middle of developing a housing area. There were a lot of homes that were still unsold and so on. And they asked permission to use one of the houses for Christmas services because they hadn't yet, you know, built themselves a church and so on. And he was really in a pickle. It was just, if you allow them to let them use it, and then if they do use it, then it's going to be good advertising for him, because then it turns out that he's being nana also. If he's going to be Mahana, then it's good public relations. And Rav Moshe wrote a very interesting tshuva, actually referring to the minhag of going to these yuridim, and that in fact, it was always nohug in Europe to accept that the heterim of Mishum Eivor or Bizman Hazeh and so on. That's not a problem of being Mahana. And furthermore, he tied that the question of being nene for public relations is not called nene. Because nene brings riots. We never see nene means you get some type of benefit that comes out of the way other people perceive things and so on. Nene means an actual direct hana'a that you get. And he was moderate. Fascinating. But I mean, you never think, you know, you're reading these things, you're thinking about old time Europe, and some of the questions Amish come up. Yes, he missed it because of the fair, yeah, but that's, you know, everybody went to the fair, but the question is the relationship of the Goyim to the commercial fairs. I mean, there were places where it was Pashut church sponsors, and Rav Moshe brings it. They had a lot of questions at the time, and this was the minhag all over. That everybody understood that you went. But as I said, we'll see in Ahmed Bey's there's additional considerations that we haven't even discussed yet. Yes. A lot of posts can bring a lot of the Christian denominations are basically just social religions. They don't have any real, you know, real icons or real worship. Or, you know, the Catholics, on the other hand, are extremely icon-oriented, Torah-oriented, and actually a mockery of things, and they have an altar, and they, you know, but you know, a lot of the other, I mean, the Episcopalian, you know, they're
Unitarian,
they
the
one,
that's right, yeah.
So, you know, like, what do they know from Avodas Hashem? All right, so, anyway, now, we have, therefore, a machlokes between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan as to whether we make a kal v'chomer that a mahana lo koshet. And according to Rish Lakish, a mahana is muta, the Torah only asked mehaneh. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Torah asked also mehaneh. Meitzei, now we ask from the following brisa. Rabbi Natan omer, yom she'avodach kochavim, manachat bo et ha-meches, machrizim v'omrim kol mi shenotel atara. ויניח בראשו ובראש כמורו לכבוד עבודת כוכבים, יניח לו את המכס. ואם לאו, אל יניח לו את המכס. יהודי שנמצא שם, מה יעשה? Says Rabbi Nathan, you know, there is a minhag, now there's a big machlokas here between Rashi and Tosfos on one hand and some of the other Rishonim, like the Ran on the other hand. What does the word manachat mean? Here's according to Rashi and Tosfos, the word manachat means sets down. In other words, demands a price to be paid, and this mechas is not really legal. And what they say is that, you know, well, if you honor the church by wearing, you know, the whatever symbol they had, you know, putting on one of those little shamrocks or something, so then it's okay, and you don't have to pay the mechas. And therefore, according, if that's the point, then they're not really giving you anything. They're just allowing you to keep your own money and not steal things from you. Therefore, according to this approach, Rashi and Tosfos' approach,
The only problem of putting this thing on nana is not that you're nana in terms of saving money. You're nana from the smell again. It's the same issue that according to Reish Lakish had been raised earlier. But according to the Ron's approach, there's always a mechas. And what they do over here, this is the word hanakha, it's like Achashverosh. Vahanakha lemedinot asah. He let them off of taxes. So they would give a special tax holiday to people who were willing to honor the church. In which case, if you put this thing on, then it turns out that you would actually be nehenet, because they're letting you keep money that otherwise would have needed to have been paid. This is like a state-sponsored religious holiday. According to that approach, the nana would have nothing to do with the smell of the thing that you're putting on. It would have to do with the actual fact that you keep the money. So what they would say is, look, if you put on this little crown, this holly crown, and you put it on your horse's head, your donkey's head, l'chvod avodat kochavim, so then they'll let you off the mechas. Therefore, says Rabbi Nosi, you know, a Jew caught in such circumstances, it's just another example of why it is that Jews should avoid this kind of this business. Because whatever you do, you're wrong. You know, because yaniach, if you're going to put it on your head, so then nimtza ne'aneh, then it turns out you're going to be ne'aneh, either from them letting you off the money or from the re'ach, depending on which pshat you learned. Lo yaniach, but on the other hand, let's say you refuse to put it on, so then you're being mehaneh, because then they're going to force you to give money, and you're going to have to be paying money for the church. So that's why, mikan amru, that's just another indication of why it is that Chachamim said, stay away from these places. Don't get involved in these places. Yeah, exactly. So hanosev anotein b'shuk shel avodat kochavim. Therefore, if you do this and you go to a place like this and you can't avoid doing iser, behema teyaker perot kisut v'kelim yirakevu. If you bought an animal, you'll have to be okirat. And we saw what okir meant before, cutting off the bottom of the foot. Perot kisut v'kelim, let them rot. Ma'ot v'klimatchot, if you have things that don't rot, that's coins, or a thing, or aluminum pans, yolechem liyam ha-melach, nobody's going to get them. Ve'ezehu ikur, when we're talking about ikur, that we said you're supposed to do to the animals, what are we referring to? Ha-menasher parsoteh min-ha-harkuv av-lamata, cutting off the legs from the ankle down. And we said before, we had this machlokas Rashi and Tosfos before as well, Rashi learns that you're only allowed to do that because anything more than that is treifas, and it's also to be garm treifas. But you'll remember that Tosfos asked before on Rashi, where do we find an issue to be garm treifas to be'em al-chulin b'chlal? And therefore, what Tosfos learns over here is that it's even enough to be menasher from the ankle. Now, you're chuyah to do more than that and to be more destructive is what it means. But anyway, says the Gemara, it does say here very clearly that Rabbi Nosson is pointing out the Jew can't win no matter what he does. Because if Yaniach, if he puts on the shamrock, so Nimtza Mehaneh, it turns out that he's getting Hana'ah. Lo Yaniach Nimtza Mehaneh. Now, according to Reish Lakish, there's no such animal as Mehaneh. So how does Reish Lakish understand his price? What do you mean Nimtza Mehaneh? Reish Lakish said that the only basis of the whole Israel is Lo Yitzbak B'yadcha Me'uma Menacherem, which is that you cannot be neneh from them. There's no problem and you're being mehaneh then. So what in the world would the b'risa mean when it says you can't win because you're going to end up being mehaneh them? Says the Gemara, you know, of course you're absolutely right. This b'risa can't possibly work out according to Reish Lakish. I mean, it says mehaneh is awesome. However, the solution, according to Reish Lakish, is very straightforward. Omer Mishar Shabrei Dervidi, Kasav Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish holds this is a Da'at Yachid. It says Rabbi Natan. Reish Lakish holds that the Rabbanan argue on Rabbi Natan. Pligi Rabbanan Alei the Rabbi Natan. The Ana and I, Reish Lakish, I follow the sheet of the Rabbanan, that there's no Isser of Nehaneh. There's only an Isser of Nehaneh. And therefore we have no problem. Says the Gemara, and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Hello, Plinky." Rabbi Yochanan says, "It's Rabbi Nosson. Where do you see that the Rabbanan arguing, Rabbi Nosson? Where do you see that there's a shita, especially about a das rab in your timing, that holds that being mehaneh is mutter. Where do you see such a thing? Says Gemara, what do you mean, where do you see such a thing? How could Rabbi Yochanan claim that he doesn't know of such a thing? Below plegay, I'll prove to you Rabbi Yochanan knows all about this price. Well, Tanya, holchim li richel of dekokazim, velokhim behem behema avadim ushpachot batim v'sadot uchamim. Now look, you can't get as far from the first price as this price. When it says over here, you're allowed to go to a fair, you're allowed to go and buy at that fair animals, slaves, real estate, v'kotevu ma'aleh barka'ot shalom, you can even go into their courtrooms in order to get the contracts legally stamped and so on. Mipnei shehu kematzil mi'adam, because anything that you can do in the courts and so on is something that is going to be matzil, even though obviously you're giving them honor and, you know, calling the judge your honor and so on. But nonetheless, this is all being done in order to save money from goyim, who are afterwards going to come after you for the money, and that you need to have as much legal backing as you can. And we never answered that. That is, it's part of doing business. Nobody views that as being related to avodat kochavim in any fashion. The imaya kohen. What's more, if the guy is a kohen, and therefore, if he goes now out to Chutz La'aretz, to a fair, he's going to end up being metame himself with the Tumat Eretz Ha'amim, which is an Issur Drabanan. Nonetheless, it's mutter for him to go. A Kohen could be metame b'Chutz La'aretz, Lodun, to go to court against them, La'ar'er imahem, to fight out a case with them, U'cheshem shimetame b'Chutz La'aretz, kach metame b'Beit HaKvarot. And just like he's allowed to go to Chutz La'aretz to recover his money, he can go into Beit HaKvarot. Beit HaKvarot? What are you talking about? Beit HaKvarot, Salka, Beit HaKvarot. What, you were Ramata Tumati Raisa? For the guy to go and save money? That's insane. No, we don't, of course we don't mean Beit HaKvarot. We mean an Isser Drabonin of Beit HaKvarot, which is the famous Isser of Beit HaPras. A Beit HaPras is where there was a field in which there had been a grave, and the grave was plowed under in the field, and they made a gezeira that 100 amot around this grave were choshesh for Tuma. Maybe there were remains that were that he could still come into contact with. And so, okay, so Mamela, that is an Issur Drabanan that we made. And we're matir that Issur Drabanan in order for the Kohen to be able to go and to fight for his property in Chutz La'aretz against the Mamzerim that might want to take it from. Right, that's right. Umetamei lilmot Torah v'lisaisha, and he's even allowed to go out to Chutz La'aretz to find a wife, or to learn Torah, to go to yeshiva. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, well, you know, type is manche ain motzei lilmot. I mean, obviously, it's only at a time where there's no yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, is manche motzei lilmot. If he finds a place to learn here, Eino mitamei, then how could he? I mean, of course he can't go out. Rabbi Yossi says that's not true. There's nothing to do with having options, because options are meaningless. When it comes to learning, the specific person that you learn from is the secret of your success. Therefore, you could say, yeah, I mean, so your mother's going to scream at you, what, you couldn't find a school that was local to go to? All your friends are in such and such a school. Why are you going out of town? That's not a problem.
Get away from you.
Feel of his man shemot say lilmod yitamei lefish ein adam zocher lilmod mikol. You know, a person doesn't have the schus to learn from anybody just because it happens to be this person that has a great kama chokum and so on. It doesn't work for me. And education is very personal. Omer Rabbi Yossi, who's a Rabbi Yossi, I'll tell you, look at the ma'aseh b'Yosef HaKohen. Shalach achara bolet sidon lilmod Torah, that was chutz la'aretz. And Rabbi Yochanan paskin halacha Rabbi Yossi. Now, if Rabbi Yochanan paskin halacha for Rabbi Yossi, now for God's sake, he knew this brisa. So what's he saying? Oh, I don't know anybody who argues. I mean, everybody would agree with Rabbi Nosson. There's no way out of this. No matter what you do, you're going to be ending up being mena from Avodas Kochavim. I said Rabbi Yochanan is talking about this brisa. So he knew that there was a sheet of the Rabbanim that argue on him. And Reish Lakish is going to leave a sheet of the Rabbanim. What's he saying? I hold that Rabbi Nosson is not a dasi yachid. Amalacha Rabbi Yochanan, says the Gemara, okay, we misunderstood that. Rabbi Yochanan's not going to say they don't argue on the surface. He has a different understanding of what the Braisa means. Amalacha Rabbi Yochanan, I hold there's no machloket here, and everybody can agree. Velokasha, kam velokech minatagar. The shakli mirseminei. Kam velokech mi ba'alabai. Dolo shakli mirseminei. The point over here is that the second braisa has nothing to do with the first braisa. It's on a different thing. The second braisa is talking about a guy who bought from a goy, but it's not, he didn't go into a store to buy where the authorities are making sure that he gives a percentage and so on. A balabayit stam, stam sold him. And therefore, there was no real need to get involved in any sort of any kind. And this function of this braisa is merely to tell us the special dinim of being matil from the goyim. So it's telling us all that pairing. You can go to chutzlar, it's become tame, and so on and so forth. And don't confuse it with the issue before, which involved a percentage of money that was going to end up being given to the church. This is simply not the question in this braisa at all. So it's irrelevant. Now, by the way, this happens to be the mocker of the whole halacha of the Isser to leave Eretz Yisrael in order to go to whatever these purposes and so on. Because if you take a look, even when we bring it, halacha, it's the Rambam who brings the din of Oshavatis Lachutzlar to Ella. The Nosekeim of the Rambam point to this Gemara with everybody else. This Gemara is talking about a Kohen. And there we have the additional problem of Tumat Eretz Amin. It doesn't say anything over here about a normal person. Normal, sorry, I didn't mean that. I mean, it's a lesser person who's a non-Kohen to go to Chutzlaret per se. Obviously, there's other Rimozim and other Sugis, which we had about, about Avimelech and what would happen. But as far as it's straightforward to say, us or us is Ella, this seems to be the only Muslim lot of discussion. Why should this be a general halacha? By the way, there's even a question of whether this is or exists is on that. Because there's a marshal that says, we're not knowing Tumas Eretz Amin. Bizman Hazeh. The Chlav is, we're in a time ago, people scattered all over, but Shaq said Tumas Eretz Amin. Even according to those, not even, it's 99%, don't agree with the marshal, but according to those that say that it is no hate, certainly, most shittas don't hold that a kohen who is living in Chutzlars has to do every ishtatus to get out of Eretz Anim immediately the way he would have to get out of the Beit HaKvaros. Although there are some who do say that, by the way. The Tumas Eretz Anim is indeed Mechayim. If he's able to get out of Eretz Anim, he's Mechayim to get out of Eretz Anim immediately. But a shaila about a normal person, whether that would be included. Okay, we pass can halacha l'maisa that it's also let's say Eretz Yisrael of Chutzlaretz. And here it says unless it's for lilma torah v'lisa isha. Now Tosis brings that these first of all, Rambam and Tosis both point out that this is only if the intent is to come back to Eretz Yisrael. It's never had to leave Eretz Yisrael, as in make yirida. There's no such thing as making yirida. That's an isegoma. But the question over here is, can you leave for a day, whatever? I mean, to go or for a year, whatever your interests are over here. You want to spend some time in the Lakewood Marriage Factory or something, it takes a little bit of while, you know. So you come out, spend married, and then you come back home. But it's just temporary. So Tosha says, okay, these are very choshev umakom. Mitzvahs. We had the Good Morning Service to talk about, he went to Chutzpah, they bought a Chambokum Shargo. The rest of his family didn't come back, they should all drop dead too. And so the Gemara was very tough about that. So Tosha says, these mitzvahs are extremely chosher mitzvahs. The entire to get married, and but for a lesser mitzvah, even if it would be the third mitzvah, would be usher to go out. However, he brings the Shultais, who says that even for very minor mitzvahs, such as these, such as getting married, and minor or learning Torah, minor in the sense that there's not a specific, what do you say? Okay, you have the specific thing that you have to do. But learning Torah is not a specific thing that you always have to learn Torah. You always have to be married. What do you say? Right now I have to do this mitzvah and run to Chutzlars to do this mitzvah. You might think, okay, so you, someone will come. You'll find a good rabbi. You'll find a good rabbi next year. Not to mean it has to be right now. So you don't have a shidduch right now. So okay, so next year you'll have a shidduch. 2 years you'll have a shidduch. But what do you have to ruin your whole life still running and determine that it? So in that sense, it's a mitzvah kala, kind of a shofar. On the other hand, if you have a specific mitzvah, I need to go and do this right now. I have a mitzvah to be machaber to parents. I have a mitzvah, and I can't wait. I have a mitzvah to go to a levaya, and so on and so forth. But that, of course, is mutter. Even these things are mutter. It's a completely different way of looking at it. And we know, of course, that many Yerushalmim, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who's famous for this, he would never, I mean, once they begged him to go to a bar mitzvah of a grandchild, and, you know, he would just go for a day, and he would come back right away. I don't see a heter. He wouldn't go. What's the basket, the big key of the mitzvah? I have to give Shabbos to this mitzvah. And so on. So that he didn't feel was enough of a reason to go to Chutzlars. It's bechlal was the minhag. And there's people, I'm sure you know, there are people that never leave Yerushalayim. But they'll leave, but they'll never stay overnight outside of Yerushalayim. A lot of Yerushalmim, I've met, as a matter of fact, quite a few, who never in their life have slept outside of Yerushalayim, and they go for it. They need to go to Tel Aviv.
People, they
run back, right. Come back, ascend back. So according to this, you don't hold to the Marshal, you don't have a specific tzarek when a kohen is also to go to Chutzlars. I mean, again, the question of a kohen who was in Chutzlars, lives in Chutzlars, comes to visit Eretz Yisrael, whether he's now begetter that is, or most folks can hold that it's only if you're living in Eretz Yisrael that that's wrong. Also, Lotzeis from Eretz Yisrael is not for a tourist, any tourist who comes in, so we say we're programmed to receive, but you can never leave. I mean, so that we don't say, but...
Where did they, we had the one Parnassus in Boston.
Right, because elsewhere the Gemara, elsewhere the Gemara talks about Tzorchei Parnassah, because that's included over here in the din of Lidoni Maham, or the whole thing is just part of Parnassah. Here it doesn't say the Farish that word, but when we pass it, we put together the whole sugya. So if you're going for business, that's part of the living process. As a matter of fact, some actually learn that's the point. That the meaning of the Shiltai is that these are things that are not mitzvahs. We're not talking about them as mitzvahs. We're talking about them as what it means to be a normal human being, to live. To live, you have to be married, to live. You have to have an education, to live. You have to have a parnasa. So therefore, and that's basically what people generally are saying upon. Therefore, anything that's part of living, and what are you going to say? You're never going to see your grandchildren if they live in Chutzlars. You will never be able to visit your parents because they live in Chutzlars. That's not normal living. So if we're going to be mocked here, going out because you need to make a parnassa. I mean, you can't make a parnassa. You know, all you have to do is open up another pizza stand, and everybody's going to come running. So what do you got to run to Chutzlars? Well, you have to have another parnassa. I don't want to open up a pizza shop. I mean, I have a friend who just had boy, you get burned down. So, right, so okay, so I have a right to invest in other things. Maybe in Vermont, in a ski lift or something, Okay, could be. Afterwards, you make enough money, you should give it away. That's always the heckler. We got to be here to send money there to throw. There are Kohanim.
They don't know.
For leaving.
Oh, yeah.
Like, go down that street.
With their
family. That's what
it says. I don't catch all of it.
But that's why it's Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Shlomo Zalman was his rebbe. Rav Shlomo Zalman was very much, I guess, in the same. There's a Lushan, or I forgot who it is, one of the later tribbets, it says, Halavai, all of my Pisgei Halakhos would be as clear to me as this, but of course it's us. Other things I'm specific about, this I know about. Okay, so those who follow that attack are very much.
What's the Indian not to sleep outside of Yerushalayim?
That's already, the dark of Kiddush of Yerushalayim. Okay, so now we have a new idea. I didn't start that way, but once you're going to read the Megillah, like Yerushalayim. I know. You know, so those guys can go to Tel Aviv already if they're going to live. They're going to live in far out places like Yad Moshe. I mean, so yeah, but. Yeah. Okay, so now according to Rabbi Yochanan's Pirush of the Braisa, we have a brand new idea. And so we talk about the difference between Chanuyot Mutarot and Non-Mutarot. Rabbi Yochanan is finding there's no difference between a Nen and a Hane. And there's only a difference between a buying from a Balabayit, who, he never gives you a receipt anyway, he never pays his taxes. And or but things haven't changed much. Or buying from a store in which he's got to have the cash register, and therefore he's going to have to pay for his taxes properly. Omar Man, now let's go back to the Teakera business. We said that this means cutting off the animal's legs. But what happened to Tsar Balei Chaim? Ika Tsar Balei Chaim. Now, how are we taking an animal because we say that it's from Avodah Zarah? I mean, how can we do that? Or try to make a point. Amar Abaya, well, I understand. It says Beferush. In Yoshua, it says, Et Suseyem Teakeh. So, I mean, it seems that part of our battle against Avodah Zarah, and Rashi says that this is a ghetto of Lirdotan. We are trying to fight this. We're trying to get an upper hand over this. And sometimes to get an upper hand, you have to do things that are vicious and painful, and this is a war. And since we find that the Torah allows that war, and we find this in Yoshua, so apparently it's mutter to do this. Now, Tosfos is a little disturbed by this. How are we bringing a raya from Yoshua if you hold according to Man Yomar that Tsar Balei Chaim is the raya? I mean, obviously, it may well be that there were times, maybe there was Alpi Adibor, there was this particular mitzvah, a particular maracha, that you were supposed to go because they were just coming into Eretz Yisrael and they're trying to make a point and so on. But how can you be docha, a general aloch, which is the Araisa, Alpi, some kind of remez in Yoshua to what is clearly only a knas of Durabonim? I mean, how can the Chachamim be oicher an Isser de Araisa? And, so as this points out, that where there is, this is a famous place, it comes up many, many times, that this halacha of Ein Okrim, the Ein Koach B'dei Chachamim, La'akor Davar Min HaTorah, is only where there's not a clear, good reason. But certainly there is theoretically the ability to tell you to do something that is clear-cut and that serves ultimate purposes. That's like a whole round shot kind of thing. Of course, Tosfos had earlier said that this is, 2 days ago we talked about the sugya also, that something which is a serves ultimately the purpose of Bnei Adam, and it's just like any other use of an animal. I mean, it's a Tsar Balei Chaim to kill an animal too. I mean, our entire relationship to animals is not based on avoiding Tsar Balei Chaim. It's avoiding unnecessary Tsar Balei Chaim. Once something is seen as necessary, you don't even need the din of Yesh Kayach B'dei Chachamim, because then it's not included in the Tzar Balei Chaim. It's not unnecessary. Okay, so over here, the Tzar Lirdotam, the war that we're fighting, includes being Gorim Tzar.
And what about
we talked about that there also, that it was included in the same issue. We talked about that.
Yeah.
That also about Tasha, since it's a Tzar, it's covered.
But
the horse
is useless now, right?
Yes.
Well,
but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
This was just a horse that was bought from the fair.
But somebody who went ahead and ignored our takana about buying these kinds of things, where he was going to have to, in one way or another, be over an issur. And for that kind of thing, it's a knas. It's a knas against any type of relationship with. Because this whole thing is essentially a type of knas of avoiding intercourse with Akum. That's what it ends up being.
It wasn't advice to the individual, it's saying that the community can use his property.
In essence, it boils down to that type of knas. I mean, Besdin does this to him. Omama, the Ezehu Ikur. Now, you said before, what do we mean when we say Ikur? We mean that you cut off. Now, I can show you that the word ikur means something entirely different. It says as follows in the Mishnah, Ein makdishin vein makrimin vein marichim bezman hazeh. It's usur to be makdish an animal, or to be maharim, which will go to Berek Abayit, or to be marich, to give your erechin to kodshim bezman hazeh. Ve'im mihigdish ve'acharim ve'harich. If you did such a thing, now, why don't we want you to do such a thing? Because if we end up having people that are going to start giving things to the Beis HaMikdash bezman hazeh, all that's going to happen is we're going to have really tzaras. Because people, we don't have what to do with it. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We don't have a treasury. And people are going to end up using these things for other purposes, which is going to end up being an issue, right? Of Me'ila Begwa, we need now new problems. So therefore they answered, you know, we don't want any of these kind of things. And if somebody was over on that, and he went ahead and he was Magdish, or he was Mafrim, or he was Marich, then what we do is Behimate Aker, Perot Ksut Vikelim Yirakevo, Ma'ot Vekle Matkot, Yolisem Liyama Melach. Incredibly, we treat the Hegdish exactly the same as if it were given to Avodah Zarah. So that, or if we got it from Avodah Zarah, and of course this is a very profound reflection on the interrelationship of those two things, the worship of God, which is similar to the worship of Avodah Zarah. I mean, if you don't have a Beis HaMikdash to do it, and then we actually view the things that you do as being very similar to Avodah Zarah. The same way people who worship the Kotel Maravi and this type of thing. And therefore we treat it not with the same idea. You can't put it in a place which people could be nichshalit and be nene from it. But here, strangely enough, and it explains Ikur, and explains Ikur in a totally different way. It says, Ezeu Ikur, Noel Delet Bifaneh, you put it inside of a pen, lock it up, and that's it, and it dies. Doesn't say anything about wounding it, cutting its feet, not letting it sit in a field. The reason that we do that is because if we're going to do the Teakera that we said about secular things that we had bought from Avodah Zarah, it doesn't die from that very quickly. And it's a tremendous bizoyan that you have this animal that this is the way people treat it. Kodesh. Okay, fine. So then why don't you just shecht it? So, mishchate mishchat. Why don't you just shecht it and let the meat decay? I mean, what are you going to say? Because you're going to be over on shchut echutz? You're not going to be over on shchut echutz if you shecht it. Why? Now, here is a machlokas Rashi and Tosafot. We're going to see more about it as we continue in the sugya. Why, says Rashi? Because we're talking about Kodesh Berek Abayit. And there's no iser of Shchut Echutz on Kodesh Berek Abayit.
What about, do you need a
Beis HaMikdash? That's Tosafot's approach. We are talking about Kodesh Berek Abayit. But the only time that we have an iser of Shchut Echutz is when it's possible to be makar the animal b'tzim. Mm-hmm. But if you can't be makar b'tzim, we don't have an iser of Shchut Echutz. And we'll see why they argue in a moment. So says the Gemara, okay, we're not going to do that because otubu l'gdei takala. If people see a check, and it's good meat, it's a little bit hard to resist. I mean, people may come to eat the meat. I mean, we're going to leave it around in order to spoil. Somebody's coming along and I'll take some. I'm going to throw this out. Okay, so then l'shavi gistram. And so why don't you slice it through the middle? Well, obviously it wasn't shechted. I mean, nobody's going to eat that. Amar Abayi, what do you mean? You can't do that. Amar Kov, nitatzem et mizbechotam, lo tasun ken l'Hashem Eloheichem. You're not allowed to destroy kachim. That's like erasing the Shem Hashem. You're not allowed to destroy something that has the Shem Hashem nikra alav, as the Rambam puts it. If God's name relates to this thing, it was Kodesh, you can't destroy it. You're going to be over an Isser D'oraisa. Now, some learn from here, but that means, this is very nogea, can you do things that are mashchit litzorach mitzvah? In other words, litzorach, some type of tikkun for a thing, right? So, you want to erase something to fix it, you want to break something in order that it shouldn't be a takol or whatever. Mashmah from here that it's aser. This was brought in various achronim shuvahs. And others, I think the Chazon Ish is Docha, the Raya, are saying that not necessarily. Because all Abayi is saying is if you have an option, the option being the Teyaker, then you don't do it via Abayi. But in Okinami, maybe if you didn't have an option, then the Tzorach Mitzvah would be Mutter. You can't bring a Raya from this Gemara that if it's your only way to be Mekayim, the problem of the chashash of takala, that you wouldn't be allowed to do it. Anyway, that's a biased approach. Rava, in typical British understatement, says, Mipnation nira kamato mum bekotchim. Well, it looks like he's causing a mum when he slices it thrice straight through the middle. I mean, you're not supposed to put a mum in an animal. So the Gemara, oh, it looks like he's putting a mum, I see. I mean, I can't think of a better mum than that. Slice the animal right through the middle. I mean, that's pretty good for a mum. What do you mean, nira? Mum ayo. Can you get a better mum than that? Now, this, of course, is where Tosfos and Rashi part ways, because Tosfos says, how can Rashi say we were talking about, when it came to the Shkut HaChutz problem, we're talking about Kotshe Berek Abayit? There is no Isser of Mata Mum and Kotshe Berek Abayit.
Isn't that?
No.
Not an Isser Mum, but aren't you letting him die?
Fine, but what are we asking that it's a Mum and it's an Isser of Mum? I mean, the whole Kasha we're asking on Rav. Rav says, well, the Rabbanan Asr, it looks like a Mum. He said, well, what do you mean, Rabbanan Asr, it looks like a Mum? Why isn't this really being over and this derives about the Mum? Now, being over and this derives to being Mata Mum of Kotshe Berek Abayit, Tainan says this. Therefore, he brings a raya from here, that indeed we're talking about Kotshe Mizbeach. The reason there was no problem about Shkut HaKutz is because Kotshe Berek, even Kotshe Mizbeach, was Mancha in Beit HaMikdash Kayam. You're not going to be over in Shkut HaKutz because it says, Vel Pesach HaOmoed Lo Yikrivo, but if there's no Pesach HaOmoed, then there's no Isser Vel Pesach HaOmoed Lo Yikrivo.
Even though he could bring his Mizbeach, if there's only in place on the Bucket
Point. Even though what?
Even though he could bring it in the Mokum on his Mizbeach.
But there's certainly no Pesach HaOmoed.
Right, so
So, it involves us in all kinds of other issues. I mean, you can see it's a rich kind of thing to discuss. Okay, but the truth is that maybe Rashi's including both elements, you know? In other words, Rashi's saying, it says, in Magdishin. I mean, so whatever. If you're talking about Kotshe Berek HaBayis, so why don't we shaft it? We're talking about Kotshe Mizbeach. I mean, why are you saying that's the only problem? Like, couldn't he come to be over on a real Matam Mubakotshim and so on? I mean, it's not necessarily fatal attack in either direction over here. I mean, Tosis is going to have to say, even if he tines and it's talking about Kotshe Berek HaBayis, Tosis says, well, maybe the idea over here is that it's like Matumum and Rabbonin, but then what's the kash on Rav? If you're saying it's a minute, maybe that's what Rav meant. That since it's only Kotshe Berek HaBayit, it's nearer to Matumum B'Kotshim. What do you mean it really is Matumum B'Kotshim? Of course, it's really a mum, but it's not really Matumum B'Kotshim. It's Kotshe Berek HaBayit. Okay, I mean, but this is the only approach that those would have if you hold that it's talking about Kotshe Berek HaBayit. Says the Gemara, let's even say, okay, so you're saying it's Matamum B'Kotshim. It should be a Mumalia. So Rava answers, no, it's not really a Mum that would be Asamini, right? It's because Hanimili Bizman Shpeta Mikdash Kayam, the Fazilak Rava. The only Isser of putting a Mum into something is the time that you have a Beit HaMikdash, then it's suitable for bringing on a Mizbeach. But actually, Lo Kazi Lak Rava, since now, because after all, what does the Pesach say? To mean the ratzon. The ratzon means to be marked on the Mizbeach. If you can't be marked on the Mizbeach, then there's no tamim yiyeh l'ratzon either. So therefore, that can't be the point. Do we have to check that out? All right, we'll look at it after this. We are responsible for opening the points. Okay? Therefore, there's no answer, Bizman Azeh, because Hashtad Lo Chazivak Rava Let Lamba. Today, nowadays, we don't have any chance of being Matur with anyway. And therefore, there's no answer. But Lahavi Kemato Mum Bibal Mum. Isn't there still an answer of putting a Mum into an animal that already has a Mum? We're over there. Apagav the low chazi lahakrava. Even though it's not suitable for bringing, it's still usher. So why is bizmanaz any different than as if you already have a mum in the animal? Because the Gemara, because there's still a big difference between them. The balmum, you see, is mehidilo chazir lagufa, even though I can't bring this animal itself, I could still go ahead and I can use its money to bring another animal in its place on the mizbeach. So the dummy chazir. La putiacha mashenke nowadays, where we don't have the base of English at all, it's useless. Lo la dummy chazir, but lo la gufa chazir. Now, ashkeche Rabbi Yonah lo Rabbi Eloi dekroya pitcha de tzur. Rabbi Yonah met Rabbi Eloi in the entranceway to tzur, and he asked them, okay, it says over here, if you buy a behemah te'akir, but it says you're not allowed to buy avadim u'shvachot, according to Rabbi Nosson's Brisa. What if you buy an eved? Doesn't it what to do with the eved? Do we cut off the eved's legs? Eved mai. Well, eved yisrael lo kami boilei. Now, obviously, if you bought a Jewish eved, I mean, I'm not talking about that, but ki kami boilei, eved ovekoch avim mai. I mean, do we treat a goyesha eved like an animal and cut off its legs? I understand. Tanya, Oved Kochavim, Viroe Behimadaka, Lo Ma'alim, Velo Moridim. Here it says the Feroz, that we do not go and actively hurt an Oved Kochavim. Or Roe Behimadaka, there who are considered to be public nuisances and who let their animals go into other people's fields and their gazlanim and so on. Now, if they fall into a pit, we don't go and bring the fire department to haul them out. But if they're not in the pit, we don't push them into the pit, in which case, what would be the heifer of going out and taking this Eved and destroying him?
Looks okay.
Look, well, I want to open the door. He stops coming through here. So I don't understand. It says the Pharaoh, you can't. Omar like Rabbi Yomil Rabbi Zer, I have another question. According to the other Brisa, where it says you are allowed to buy lo kamiyan beima avadim u'shvachot, when it says you're allowed to buy avadim, does that mean you're allowed to buy a Jewish eved, or can you even buy an eved avadat kochavim? It says the reason you can go, you're allowed to go because you're being matzul miyadam, and we want you to be able to buy that. Omar like, well, I mean, if there's an issue of getting something from them, someone like Mistavra. Eved Yisrael, I mean, it must be a Jewish Eved. I said, well, I mean, what would be the value? He Eved, Ovek Yochavim, Lamami Boile. What are you achieving in running out and buying an Eved of Eved Yisrael? There's a mitzvah that we should be matzah for you. Oh, yeah, you're going to be matzah for me. Wait, we need to bring these foreign workers into our homes and to mess up our society? That's crazy. Ki Yasa Rav, Namresh Lakish. Hafilu Eved Ovek Yochavim. Not true. The heter over here is even a non-Jew. Because if we buy a non-Jew, then we're making him Jewish. And there is a mitzvah, as we bring him as an eved into the house of Yisrael, he now becomes chayev in mitzvahs, like a isha. And I don't understand what your question is. Maimi boilem. Who says he needs it for his purposes? I mean, but you don't want to be makar of this person, that he should be able to come closer to Hashem. And that's the mitzvah. That's what it says, Masa Miyadam. Ravashi says, Ravashi, you know, what kind of question is this, Bechalal? And if we said, and you're allowed to buy a behemah, so what are we going to give this behemah bris milah? I don't understand. What's the behemah tachas kanfei hashchina? There's no tachas kanfei hashchina. I mean, what's the heter for bris? Why don't we say, what do we need an animal for? What's the mitzvah animal? That's not the point. The point is that anything that we can get away from them and bring to us is lessening their power, lessening their shlitah. And this is a war for shlita over the world. Don't we want to be mamayit them? So it's my nachnis takas kanfei hashchina hika. What's the issue over here? We're looking for religious value to the animal. Why should we look for religious value to the eved? What we want is essentially mishum miutayu. We want them to have less. Va'okinami here too comes to buying an eved from them. We're being mamayit them, and that is mutter.
Right.
Now, Tosus explains that the reason that we didn't see this as obvious is what? Isn't it clear? This sign as Ravashi? No, says Tosus, because for a behemah, in a finami. But miutayu, we could say that when it comes to bringing a eved into the house of Yisrael, it's more mamayat us having these avonim around and feeding them and having them do nothing, which they usually do, sit around all day and steal your money and eat your food and so on. And drape up your kitchen, for sure. Now, what do we need that for? That wouldn't be mishum. I would have thought that that's not included in mishum miyutayu. Now, the approach that I gave in mishum miyutayu is Rashi's approach, many other rishonim. However, there are those who argue, and they say miyutayu is a reference specifically to the fairs. And miyutayu means that during this period of the fairs, and this is the issue I told you we're going to get to an Amud Beis that we haven't even dealt with yet, the issue of miyutayu in the fairs is because of the immense competition in the commercial fairs, they make very little profit. And therefore, we're matar Yisroel, it's like a sense of the Dover Avad. You should be able to go make money, you know, getting a good deal in a way that limits their profits, and therefore if you're not going to go to the fair and you're going to end up buying this at some other time, they're going to end up making more money, you're going to end up losing money, and that's why we're being matir, the matil miyada, not stomp to get things away from them, but to force them to give you a good price. And of course, I mean, that's all the Christmas sales and the type of thing, the post-Christmas sales, like we were talking about, Ali B'Duran, that we're talking about over here specifically. So when you're being matzil, that's what we're including. It's like a Dover Avad. And that's the additional issue that is raised by the postkin based on that sheet in the Gemara, that besides the questions of Ovid Avodah Shechachamim and Bizman Hazeh, and besides the questions of Eva, there's also the questions of Hatzalah, Matzil Miyadam, not in terms of being mamayatim for religious purposes and a national war against Avodat Kochavim, but for simple business purposes. We want to make money, and we don't want them to make money.
We want to be matzil our moment?
Basically, yes. Exactly. We want to be matzil.
So you buy from Goy
when you're getting a good price. So even though you say, but you read, that's when they come together, it's a covet for the church, and so on. But that's not our problem. This is business, exactly. And everybody knows that business is business. And that's the point. By the way, Tosfos makes a lovely point earlier about this business of not putting on the wreath on your head and being mahana them, right? So the problem is that it says later on that there isn't, everybody seems to agree that if your house falls down, for instance, and one of your walls is also the wall of the church. Right? So it talks over there, you're allowed to build in, leaving them more place, you know, so there seems to be elements in our house. So Tosis makes a very interesting distinction. He says the idea over there is that there's no bizayon for the Akum. Over here, the very fact that a guy would be willing to pay extra money just not to have to wear their wreath is an insult. So Mamela, that's part of the heter over here, for saying you're being Mahana. It's not that Rav Yochanan is saying all over Mahana's mother. But if you're being Mahan in a way that shows, you know what? I'd be willing to pay double just that the church shouldn't have any benefit. That's not called, I mean, any covet benefit. You know, let them take my money. I'm certainly not going to show that I approve of this kind of stuff. So that's insulting. There is where he's saying that there would be no problem. It's amazing how involved it is, the entire Pesach that we've seen. There's the Dorish every pasuk, even from the even Mamish Ramazim to the Giran Osher from before, the question of the highways and the Shvakim and so on, which was the Mice of Shechem, you know, with Yaakov Avinu coming into Shechem, that's exactly what he did. The question of the this is the business element, and it's amazing. This has become, of course, it became during the course of the Golas the main issue, was the interrelationship of monetary things, lending them money, the question of read this from Akko, being Mahana the church, providing the banking services for the church, and so on and so forth. It's all developing here.
Right.
That's right. Not only gave them fiat, all the money they ended up making was because of the capitalist system that was essentially built on banking, which was provided from the Jews, right? This is the beautiful Rothschild. Rothschild means the shield of the red one, the right shield. Yeah? So it means it's Edom. the shield of Edom. It's unbelievable. I provide for you. It's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's our, that's still our connection. It's not mitzvah, not bilah, that's for sure. Yeah. It's as close as your Wall Street banker. Fine. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yaakov Zavan Sandala, Rabbi Yirmiyah Zavan Pita. Now, Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yirmiyah, in one of these places, Rabbi Yaakov bought a sandal, Rabbi Yirmiyah bought a piece of bread to eat, and each one was outraged that the other one had done that, because each one thought that they had gone into a department store. The other one had gone into a department store that had the wreaths, and that was us, or that we're going to be paying this mefes. Omer lechad lechavrei, so each one says to the other one, you yasma, avad rabcha hachi, what, your Rebbe would have done something like that? Rabbi Yochanan. Omer leidach, the other one says to him, you yasma, avad rabcha hachi. Now, Rashi always says when it comes to yasma, that yasma means somebody who's got no brains, below dot. There's no dots in you. Why do we call that yasma? I always explain it Kabbalistically. And it's a very interesting remez that Chochma and Bina are called Kabbalistically Abba V'ima. And Das is their child. So if you want to say someone doesn't have Das, it's because he's a Yosem and doesn't have Chochma or Bina, doesn't have Abba V'ima in order to have Das. She's Chosser Das. And that's how they would refer to somebody very, in that type of fashion. He doesn't understand anything. How could he do such a thing? Now, Lemaisa, what had happened was that they had each, of course, done it, but there had to. And that was Tarvayomi Ba'alabayit Zavon. As Rabbi Yochanan Rimata before, you can buy from a private party, you just can't buy in a department store. And that's actually what they had done. Whereas Kolchad V'chad Zavon, each one had thought that Chavroi Mitagar Zavon. The other one had thought that he had gone into a store. So he knew that he had done it okay. That's why he yelled at the other one.
A store that would be
us to buy something? That's us. The Omer Baba, but I was there before, Lo Shana, the little Kech Minat Tagar, because the Tagar has to pay this tax to the church. Abu Bilo Kech Mibalabai, the Lo Shak, the Minim Mitzvah, is Mutin. Omer Rab Abba, but the Ripsi Yabar Abba, Rab Abba said, I just want you to know that the Heter that we're quoting from Rab Yochanan would not apply this man of it. Because il malei haya Rabbi Yochanan hazimna ba'atra tekashakli michsa afilu mibalabayit aviyasa. Nowadays, if he would be around here, and he would see the way they go after the tax collectors, go into people's homes and take money from them for the business that they're doing, and they estimate the business and so on, then Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't have been matir taking it even from a balabayit, because nowadays the balabatim keep records that they have to get the church off their back. So he would have answered it. Now, wait a minute. I thought he was the one that was saying was a heter alibir of Yochanan because they're buying from a balabayim. So then how did they? I mean, you're telling me this is Rabbi Abba Bar Rav Chiya himself. So how did the Talmidim do that then? So Elohim Hechnes of them. So where did they buy that sandal from or that bread from? They bought it mi ba'alabaya she'ino kavua. They bought it from a guy, an itinerant peddler that they don't know about him, they don't know where to find him. He's here today, gone tomorrow. He figured he can buy from them, and the tax authorities will never find him. The gypsies will be out of town tomorrow. All righty.